dragon.
Well, shit. December is coming. What are y'all doing? We're throwing a party. Yes, our day is back this time around this year. It's on the 20th of December. And guys, girlies, you do not want to miss this one. We're back with a new venue, Rehab Beach Club. New date, 20th December, same time, 5 p.m. And this time around, we're giving you three special DJs. We've got DJ Nate, Official Kwame, who's also going to be emceeing, and Wellbe. Yes, we're giving you a Y2K party like never before. We're taking it back to the roots. And this time around, listen, we want you to step it up. Yes, we're giving away a prize to the best dressed. Pull up in your Y2K looks. Dress to kill, but with a class. Catch that reference. Look, this year's Our Day Party is going to be so much fun. We've got games, and we're in the mood to give away things. So come with a good time. And you will not be disappointed. We're having a ball. We're having a party. We're having a good, good time. Merry Christmas in advance. Tickets in the link in our bio. See you on the 20th of December. And listen, our 5 p.m. is our 5 p.m. Be there or be squared. All right, guys, listen. So this is a very special episode you're about to get into, okay? You remember early in the year, we told you we were throwing our very first intimate listener letter live event. Yes, I think we had like 100 people in this space. It was very cute. Those of you that came, you know we had a good time, okay? You know, I was in my yellow chair and giving you guys, you know, things to laugh about, you know, because I am funny. Look, I'm leaning more into what it is that it is. You know, these days, I'm leaning into it because I feel like, I'm funny. And the people gag, they know, they come out, you know, and it was a really good time. So we're going to be doing another one, guys. Okay. So on the 29th of November, Saturday, okay, we're going to be doing it at the Cube GCR in Chato. You know, look, we'll put it out. You'll see. Yeah. Time is 7:30 p.m. Just hit the link in our bio, get yourselves a ticket, and let's make it a date, okay? The one you're about to listen to is the recording we did of the one we did early in the year, okay? It's a little bit edited, you know, we didn't give you the full effects. A lot more was said and done, but it's still a good time, okay? So listen to it, and I'm sure you'll be convinced by like the first 15 minutes to get a ticket. And when that happens, go to the Sincerely Accra Instagram page, hit the link in the bio, and just get your ticket. It's that simple. You know what I mean? So yes, 29th November, we will be doing what you're about to listen to again. So if you're listening, hey, it's nice, so I wish I was there. You know what to do. Anyway, hope you enjoy the episode. And leave us a review, like what you listen to. Let's agree on this, okay? What you listen to when everybody is done. For those of you that actually listen to what we say on the podcast, because I know y'all, some of you, we are white noise. I know, and it's fine. You give us the numbers. Thank you very much. But I'm like, can we like listen to the episode, the conversations, and everything? And then when you go to our Instagram or our Twitter or our TikTok, the trailer that we posted to promote this episode, leave your thoughts and opinions and comments and your reactions in the comment section, and we will be waiting to engage. I really want to get some feedback. I want to hear what people thought. You know, desist from feeling shy in participating in making the things that you love or the, like, you know, there's some of you, you consume things and you're just quiet, like, you're quiet about it. You don't want to, like, maybe praise and talk. You don't care about all of that. You don't need a podcast, you don't. I'm not about to give y'all a follow, Niyama. Break it, I beg. Come and tell us what you thought about it. Niyama, yes, I can. Why you did your feedback? What's your idea? All right, guys. Look, enjoy the episode. I'm out of here. You know me. Before we start, I just want to show you the pictures of my parents. Can you take them down for me? No, it's not. Jeez. Why will it go around? That's your problem. There are empty seats in the front. If you are sitting in the back, it's a choice. Anyway. So yeah, these are my parents. This is my dad. Yes. Guy. Do we look alike?
Very.
Oh, sometimes you like it. Confirmation. Okay, yeah. Guy. This was taken in Dansoman Snitz Flats, Block 2. Girl, don't try. Yeah. And then this one, I was actually born in Asylum Down. This is our family house, right in front of it. The wall has been broken down, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, can someone come and put it back? I'm sorry. I'm the talent. I don't know what you boy expected. So those of you listening, somebody's trying to be gagged by the fact that I have like a team. Oh my God. Anyway, welcome to... I feel like you are telling on yourselves because we've been told your obedience was fake. You didn't hear that. See? But anyway, welcome to... Oh, yeah, and Mensa too, right? But welcome to our listener letter live. I promise next time we'll have outputs of the audio because I feel like I'm shouting. I have a dinner at 10 p.m., by the way. So, no. I'm saying I've been very incensed by the lateness. Oh, don't apologize. You don't mean it. You saw the time and you said, oh, we're going to events. Make 1 hour later. Yeah, but I just gave you, like, the courtesy of this place filling up. And yes, I'm coming. I started it at that. But I'm going to make my dinner at 10. So, like, I don't care. Anyway, yesterday was my birthday. Yes. Thank you very much. I'm the same age that Jesus was when he died. Yeah. You are telling on yourselves, those who don't know. But anyway, I just said that to let you know. If you feel like you want to give me a gift, just give me money. 10 cities, 100 cities, 1,000 cities, I would take it. And please, before any of you, and he was begging at the thing, no, closed mouths don't get fed. Yes. Let the church say amen. Kadosh. Anyway, let's move into our first letter. What's the time? Let me just say, for those of you who don't know, I have a dinner at 10. And y'all came late, so we started. Listen. And y'all came an hour late, so y'all gonna deal. Okay, the first one. Hi, Joseph. I've been wondering, you sing a lot on the podcast. Why have you never really pursued a music career? Like, you know, like I can tell when somebody is Gen Z. They started the sentence with like. Is it like you know people and have taste? Oh, okay. You know people and have taste. So why do you? She said, well, he said, do you need a manager? I want to know because Loki, I would support you. Exclamation mark. No, let me tell you, one support does not an artist make. No, but honestly, I don't know. I've never really taken I was in choirs all my life. Wow. Bitch. I remember the first time. Oh, sorry. Let me tell you something. When I say bitch, it's a term of endearment. If you fight with me, I will just not talk to you again because I will say bitch. And I mean it with love, you know? Like, bitch. Oh, bitch. Bitch. No, that's not love. That's not love. The last one. Oh, no, I'm calling you out on something shady. Like, if you come and tell me that, oh, the guy that has done the thing to you, are going by, and I've advised you, and you come and say he did, they're going to be like, bitch. That's not a catch trail. Anyway, yeah. I remember hearing the Hallelujah chorus one time, and I said, I want to climb that bridge. But try as I may, is it me or might? Yeah. Try as I may, I always ended up in Turner. And I feel like Turner, I'm going to say, that's what I wanted to sing. But anyway, when I was in AIS, first year, there was a talent show, and I won it for singing. And I feel like at that point, it got in my head a little bit. Because there's a record out somewhere Yeah. You know how everybody had a rap song, people who were rappers in their school. One of the rappers approached me and said, oh, I want you to sing my hook. I said, what? I said, you're taking me too seriously as a person. Oh, no. That was the first time. I went to a studio in Teshinungwa. Yeah. Bitch, they wrote the lyrics down and he told me to sing. And I was like, but wait, like, I don't know. Isn't there supposed to be a melody or whatever? And they said, oh, usually the singers come up with a melody. And I said, well, you won't find out today. No, though, but we recorded. And the funny thing is, after we recorded, the studio manager hits up the rapper and asks for my number. Because somebody heard the song in the studio and wanted me to do another hook. I said, let me tell you something. This is not my career path. They can keep it. No, but yeah, I used to sing. I feel like I haven't been intentional about growing the talent. Because, you know, if you have a tool and you don't use it, rusty. But, you know, sometimes after a good banana or two, bitch, I sing. Let me see if I can sing one song. I'm going to pick a song that is the least vocally challenging, y'all. No bells and whistles. Oh, let me see. Oh, okay. I remember this song. I think this is the song that I used to win the talent. It was, yeah. And you see, that's the thing. I felt like when I won, I was a bit shocked because it was a Neo song. I mean, it's Neo. Like, no, like, it's not challenging vocals, guys. Like, it's Neo. So it was, so much I love you. So much I need you. Yes. And I can stand you. Must everything you do make me want to smile? And then I like you for a while. You won't let me. You upset me, girl. And then you kiss my lips. All of a sudden I forget that I was upset. Can't remember what you did. You know exactly what to do so that I can't stay mad at you for too long. That's wrong. You know exactly how to so that I don't want to fuss and fight no more. And I did that. I adore you. Yes, yes. I love you, girl. I can't stand how much. Okay. That's it. No, but honestly, I feel like I've seen a lot of people. A lot of people say, I know a lot of people. You know, the funny thing I realized in the creative industry, for the people that have stayed, like we've been at this thing for years. So no, it's true. Some of the people that like are big today that you might see me talking to, it's not like I'm big. That's why when I knew them, they were not big. Oh yeah, it's true. It's not even shade. Oh yes. So my friend used to manage Kitty, and back then he was called Dramina. And my friend would always get him booked somewhere. And he would like, oh guys, come and watch him. And I used to just go begrudgingly, you know what I mean? Yeah, because one time the nigga was singing at Diamond, like a nightclub. I was like, what is the big idea? But there was an event, Sabolai. If you guys remember, they used to do it at the Children's Park. And Kitty sang Chandelier. And I was sat because the vocals were good. And that's when I started paying attention to him as a serious artist. This was before Hitsmaker, guys. So, I mean, set a force. So, yeah, like, I mean, Rhea Boss is here. Like, yes. We, like, so many creative things that I've been through where, like, I meet Rhea and stuff like that. So some of you will discover her today and say, we're freeing for, hey, she's been in the game, girl. Yeah. And the reason why I say this is that I've seen the struggle. And I just knew, like... I don't even want to mention names, but I've gone to studio and I've seen some people sleeping on the couch because they decided to pursue this thing. Their parents kicked them out, all of that. I was like, girl, why I gotta go through all that? You know? And you know the funny thing? Because of the internet and how people make it, like Cardi B has been hustling for years and then you just see her and like she's big. Same for Lil Nas X and things. So these days you cannot advise a struggling artist too. Don't put you in a song and say you were a hater. Because to them, their blowing is one song away. You see what I mean? Yeah. I've met people and I've had objective conversation. I've said, baby, we need to hang it up. And the passion with which they have said no. And I'm telling you, I'm very objective. Like, you are bad. But I mean, no. And I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I get it. I think it was Erykah Badu that said, I'm an artist and I'm passionate about my shit. I would be passionate too, like I said. And so I've been around a lot of that. And I was like, if I don't have money where I can just like, you know, do it on a big scale, I'm not bothering myself. Can you imagine? Come by now, no, we'll be from your up and coming. Oh, you, now, no. Oh, let me tell you, now the socially correct term is emerging artist, please. Anyway, I think I've answered that question, Anna. Yeah. Yeah. No, my friend wrote it. I didn't write it. But I was like, we were like 16, 17. I was like, nigga, who hurt you? No, it was good lyrics. I didn't get paid, Wendy, no. Which genre was that? No, it was a rap song, and that was the hook. I don't know where it is, but I know who to ask. I'm not bothered. Look, let me tell you. Let me tell you. I will put myself through discomfort for the people that I love. This was a random boy in my school. We became friends. No, listen, we became friends afterwards. But at the time, I'll tell you. But at the time, it's like, you've just, I'm coming, and like, it's hot. I'm sweating, like. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I will withstand discomfort for you. That's what I'm saying. You said? Okay, we're going to move on. The next question. Hello, sincerely Accra. Look at this one. This is a good one. I just ended my fourth talking stage this year. I don't know why. This is real. And it's only been 4 months. This is another Gen Z, because there's another sentence starts with like, said, like, what are we doing? Oh, this is a guy. I feel like the girls just don't know what they want. Every day, listen. Every day, shifting goalposts. Even when you treat them too well, they will find a problem with it. Is it society? Is it their bad belly friends? Because like, at 27, why are we doing the whole not wanting to come across as desperate? Like, if you like me, wagwan. This was written at dawn, I can tell. He said, why are we playing games? Then when I move on, you start popping up in things. Charlie, I stress so. I was thinking of taking a break for the rest of the year. But me, I'm a lover boy. What do you think? You know what the issue is? But do you know what the issue is? Let me tell you. People like people because they meet you maybe 1, 2, 3 times, and then they fall in love with the idea of you that they've made. You know what I'm trying to say? No, it's true. So it's like, the first time I'm meeting you today, you see how you're dressed. I'd be like, okay, she's a little outside. I like it, you know? And then like, I'll go off of that vibe. Then when I go home, every time I think about you, I'll be thinking about things you can do in the altar, whatever, right? So I've already placed you somewhere. Then the next time that we hang out, maybe you bring a friend and a friend has a dog. And you are playing with the dog. Like, oh, this is a pet lover. So one day we can even move in together. We can have a pet. You see, you start building it. You get what I'm trying to say? And then when you are suddenly faced with a part of them that you just didn't see coming based on the image you have put together, then you start having internal struggles. Let me tell you, people are very multifaceted, I swear to you. And I don't know about you, but very few, but I don't think everybody presents themselves the same way everywhere. Yeah. There are people that you work with, you know them as one way.
Yeah.
Somebody knows them a completely different way. Yes. And so when you meet somebody, just understand that you are meeting a version of them. And that's why I always say, 3 months. You need at least 3 months, first quarter, before you start making up your mind about a relationship. You can't talk to someone for 1 month and then, like, you need to see the person angry, fighting at a waiter. Oh no. I see someone like, oh, if you are rude to a waiter, and sometimes it's deserved. I'm just saying. No, I want to see you in all situations where you were disrespected by the waiter, how you handled it. There are some of the disrespect that you have to let it go. And then some of them will be like, girl, do you want to go outside? Okay, but let me tell you, let me tell you something fair, because a lot of you, and I think sometimes this is the reason why a lot of you want to act like people don't go off of looks and things that they see. Like, come on, before you talk to somebody, right, something must attract you. It's either like your aura, your vibe, or their different body parts, okay? And I think that sometimes you just have to like understand that. No, not even that. Like, somebody is gonna like you because of just that. It just, there might be something wrong with them. There might be something wrong with them because maybe that is all they are valuing. But also, you don't know. You know, men get in certain stages, they want somebody that knows book. Men get in certain stages, they want somebody that they can have conversations with. But most of the time, let me tell you, I've been in many conversations where men are talking about how they just saw somebody, they don't know the person's family history, you know, and they'll say, oh, I'll let her do things to me. So I know a lot of people are going to jump on the Botosis in Accra, but it's true. So it's possible. Oh, okay. All right. That's another angle. Who has the microphone? Wait. Who has the microphone?
If you people are trying to get the bull.
Okay, my understanding of the talking stage is like you met somebody, you had a great time, and you have each, I like to think that this is the case, you have each expressed some level of interest in getting to know each other towards something more, at least, you know, like, oh, I really enjoyed today. I like you. Oh, I like you too. You know, because I feel like you could be delusional and just, you know, be talking to somebody every time they post on their story, you reply and they reply back. That's not a talking stage. No. Like, I've literally heard somebody say, oh, me and Andy chat for Instagram. You are not chatting. You are commenting on a story and she's saying thanks. The worst of which is if she's only sending emojis and you are telling your boys that you and Andy chat on Instagram. That is not a talking stage. You are a fan. And until things change, you're a fan. So yeah, that's what I think of talking stages. And I think that, you know, maybe one or two dates, but sometimes sex. Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes. First of all, what we're not gonna do is pretend that we don't know the people we're doing the do in a talking stage. Come on.
They need to start talking.
Even undefined things cry. All right, we have something here.
Yeah, I was just gonna add that he says he was talking to four girls in 4 months, if I'm correct.
Yeah. You see, that's what I said. But anyway,
so I was just gonna say, I personally think a talking stage has to be between two people who have agreed to talk to each other.
Yes.
He could be talking to them, but they're not talking to him.
Yes.
He could be talking to them, but they're not talking to him.
Yeah.
And they are in the talking stage, you're not tied to that person. She could be talking to more than one person at the same time. So she probably lost interest in him and then moved on talking to somebody else for that talking stage to continue. So I just, that's just my
hey, but so why I think his problem is that he's not the one that is always picked, I guess.
Exactly.
So you have something to say? Okay, Kofi.
All right, so, yes, just to piggyback off what he's saying, there's a probability that a couple of the girls were probably bored with their boyfriends. Yeah. And so he decided to just... So, I mean, they took their boyfriend and they decided to test the waters out there, realize, you know, I think I have something good, and then go back. So,
No. You know what? This is true. Let me tell you something. No. You see, the thing about, look, before I make, I have to have experience or seen or know, or you know what I mean? No. People really be talking to people in relationships without their knowledge. Exactly. I'm telling you. Exactly. If you put in the same circles, how will you know? You think you're talking to someone single? Maybe she has just had a fight with her boyfriend, and it's like a 2 days where they didn't talk to each other, and you happen to connect, and then she's replying fast and everything. Then a week later, she's replying slowly. Then you're like, whatever. Their boyfriend is back.
No, but then in that case, that guy surely can't think he's in the talking stage with that.
No, but that's the thing. He doesn't know.
No,
But Wendy, if we want, you could too.
Wait, he has something to say over here, please. After him, he had his hand up first, we'll come back to you, don't worry.
Yes.
So I just want to say two things. I think four talking stages and him being frustrated is like, four is light work. You need to buckle up. You need to buckle up for a lot.
Okay. Let's go back in. Yes.
Yes. So secondly, I think maybe it's time for some introspection. After four talking stages in 4 months, everything is like going to shit. Maybe it's time to sit down and look within, assess yourself, and see maybe there's something really wrong with you. I mean, personally, if he's listening to this, I want to tell him I can see what is wrong with you. It was a very subtle whiff of misogyny in that 27 desperation. It was there. He needs to look within and really just assess himself, work on himself, and maybe he'll find someone, you know, who's willing to take him.
What are we saying to that?
No, you know what? You know what I love about the Cecilia Crow audience? The perspectives vary. They do. I didn't even think about it. The condescension at the 27, right? I like it. Okay, who else? Oh, come on, yes.
I think that over time, right, the way we meet people have changed.
Yes.
Right? Back in the day, you used to meet people through mutuals, friends.
At a church.
Club, wherever, right?
Uh-huh.
They've moved to the online spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you are just opposing how people move from one end to another, the online space replicates how people used to meet,
mm-hmm.
right? First of all, I feel like these talking stages, all of these things, they are already muddied up, right? Everybody has their definition for it. If you meet somebody online, right, that's the avenue, that's the room that you meet the person in, right? That's where you have those conversations. it's almost like you've met someone through a mutual, right? You have to take that chance to take it out of the online spaces into the physical realm if it's possible.
Right.
Right. So if you are replying somebody every day online and you don't want to take it to the next step, it really be your fault. Like you slack, right? Yeah. So it could be from that space to a more physical space where it's like, oh, can we meet for coffee or can we meet for fair enough.
Oh my God.
But then moving from the online spaces to the physical space builds some level of
connection. Yes.
And friendship, if it was that, right? And then that could lead on to other things. The friendship could be maybe 1 month, the friendship could be 1 week. You could have sex in between and realize that you are compatible.
You know yes. What I'm gonna say to that? Interesting. I don't know. Is it always, because I understand that they say marry your best friend and all of that, but like, no, because of you said it could be a friendship. Like, if you are looking to date somebody, right, does it always start off as friends? No, the reason why I'm saying that is that, you know, that you can actually pursue somebody from the jump and the pursuit is not friendly. No, from the jump you are doing. You know what I mean? If you are friends, you will be vibing out until one day it crosses there, because people like niggas that are your friends, right? There's a certain side of you that you don't show them. Yes, and there's a side that you show a nigga that is eating you. You know what I mean? So like, anyway, that's what I just wanted to say to that. But you know what? I looked at my time and I said, oh God, let me move on. I have a dinner at 10.
What's up, Sincerities? We're looking for a new segment host, okay? So if you think you're about it, you got a great personality and you know how to like really volley with people, this is your chance, okay? As a segment host, you're going to be going out doing vox pops, talking to people, asking the questions. You're going to be featured on the actual podcast episode and our social media. So listen, all you have to do is send a 60-second video, pick one hot topic of your choice, and give me your opinion on it. Hey, who said what, who did what, and what do you think about all of that? Send it to social@thegoldcoastreport.com with the title, Sincerely Across Segment Hosts. The deadline for this is November 28th. Seriously. We want everybody. Show us what you got.
Okay, so this one says, oh no, it's the same one. Let me drive straight into the issue. Accra is killing me. I went to tech and I got a national service role in Accra. Being a Kumasi boy, I was excited about moving to the capital to work. After service, I was hired by the company I worked with. The pay is decent, about 7K a month. But Joseph, by the time the month ends, the money runs out. I can't save for emergencies, tithe, rent, transport, food, and family support back home swallows my money. And these are essentials. I always get frustrated and ask my friends how they are surviving. Apparently, most of them owe money, and that's how they survive. That's it. Joseph, the job is good and I love it, but I'm thinking of returning home to Kumasi. At this point, I really feel defeated. What do I do? Hey, 7K. To go from 7K to nada in Kumasi. Anyway, opinions and thoughts, feelings. Yeah. Alex.
From 7K to nothing, unless of course there's bread at home and the family is willing to give it to you. But in my opinion, I think it's really hard out there.
Yeah,
people don't tell you the truth. You see people's lifestyles, you see the jobs people are doing, and you think it's glam for everybody, but it's really hard. And I think he needs to have a mindset as to really wanting to save. Because definitely there are things you can do away with. It's very hard, but it's very doable.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Tell me.
Let me tell you something. You know, the whole idea of savings is so cute. It is so cute, but the truth is, not since 2016 have savings done anything? You know, there was a time when all you needed was 1,000 Ghana cedis to go on a road trip and you come back with 50 Ghana. Yeah. There was a time when, like, it didn't cost much to do much. At those days, that Obi birthday near Akwaje Tang Palace, you close down the what's it called? The buffet, and you do it. And then one bottom. I mean, no, there was a time. So every time I hear people saying save, I'm like, you fool. Do you know, the number of people...
It's a rainy day. It's always raining.
It doesn't stop raining. It doesn't stop raining. Let me tell you something. You'll be saving for unforeseen circumstances. As soon as you start, no, the unforeseen circumstances, they get a whiff that you are saving for them and they present themselves. Hey, it's crazy. But yeah, what's it called? Savings aside, you spoke about how like people see people's lifestyle and everything. And you know, I just want to say, I think every time when we're having this conversation, we always make it look like, oh, people are living fake lifestyle and then people will be seeing it and it's giving the pressure. But I just want to speak for the people that they are not doing it intentionally. let me say, because sometimes I'm like, you know, me in my downtime when I'm there, I just think. And I have different perspectives to different things that people think. I refuse to have one opinion on anything. I refuse. I just feel like if I have one opinion on something, I'm not pushing myself. You know what I mean? I want to be able to sit in a room where people are having a conversation about a topic and then there's diverse opinions and I don't feel shaken because I'm stuck to my one thought. But anyway, what was I saying? Fuck. Yes. You know, you can have rich friends and your rich friend will pick you up in their car. And you snap, right? You're not snapping. You're not doing RR. You know?
Shame. That's your reality.
You are not. You are just snapping because your friend, who maybe you knew from KG, right? And maybe you have snapped the screen in the car playing that Black Sharif song that you like. And the car heads can tell that you're sitting in the Benz. You know what I mean? And then somebody sits in there and then pressure at you. Onjini. You know what I'm trying to say? Ah. My friend, I'm going to dinner with my, because yesterday was my birthday, I'm going to dinner with my friend, right? At a nice restaurant. Nancy, I'm in posty. Nanka me posty, I'm going to say, you just have been to do what baby, kese. I'm not paying. So if you sit down and you're like, oh, I want to do some, find out how we are doing it. Look, let me tell you something. A lot of people talk about side gigging in Accra. You know a side gig that you put a sleeping on? Social climbing. Yeah. Look, I just want to say, you know, I really hope that you go through your lives not attaching too much judgments on things. Let me tell you something. Things exist for a reason. The fact that the social climbing exists, it means something that people have done before. Yes. Oh, listen, if you listen to the stories of like the aristocrats of the Gold Coast, baby, the social climbing, the intentional marriages, you know what I mean? So honestly, if you social climb, sometimes you don't always have to think about your finances alone. Oh yes. Sometimes, just as in friends, that's because of the money that they have, it's not like you are begging, no. You're just telling them about your day. By the time the call ends, 2K, oh wow, thank you, I never expected it. Oh, you know when you cut the call, we'll say, ah, fuck. Hey, listen, don't feel bad, you're not gonna miss it. But yeah, any other opinion? Yes, sir. Yes, wait, okay, no, you haven't spoken for a while. Do you have the mic?
Yeah, the mic.
Yeah, go on.
Some family members assume that, oh, he lives in a big city, so he's doing well. And so any little thing, we need to ask him for it. And I want to introduce him to the concept of saying no. Also, lying to your people. So that the moment your parents ask you how it's work, throw in, I do too much for the little that they pay me.
Okay. I love that.
That's how me I started with my work life.
Okay.
Not, I don't want to like sound like I'm coming off as bragging, but thankfully I don't have to send anything home. But when my parents ask, so how is salary? I'm like, look, I work too much for the amount of money they pay me. And when I changed jobs, my mom asked, oh, so is the salary? I'm like, look, I just changed jobs for like some 200 CDs. I just need peace of mind. It's like, oh, but why? Why aren't you? I'm like, I'm not looking for money at the moment. So at the back of her mind, my son is going through it. Oh, please. Okay. Try and reduce the expectation of people from the get-go. Oh, so, you work at, you work in a bank. Charlie, forget, bank is just branding. They don't pay us anything. They don't give us any allowances, nothing. Everything everybody is doing is just for show. I don't know how they're getting their money. Start putting it in the minds of your people that you live with, your people back home, so that you can do something for yourself, because you need to take care of yourself. If you're always giving the money out to people, then what do you have for yourself? And also learn to say no. Do you have ABC? You know, I do not. And don't feel bad about it. That's it.
All right. So we're going to go to Saint and then we'll come to Kumo. But honestly, you know, the thing about black tax is, do you want to live? I think some people, especially, you know, Gen Z, I feel like you guys do not mind being villains. Like, it's fine. But that's the issue. It's like, you be branded like Ude Utimia Ding and all of that. So sometimes people have to, because I feel like in Ghana, we are socialized to think that everybody has to like us. You know what I mean? So some people, they struggle with the idea that if I don't do it, they will say that this, they will say that. That is what it is. So, and there's also some people that they are living fake lives to their people. There are people that want their family members to think that they are there. So it's like, they've asked me for 500 CDs. I can't send it. I have to send it. Yes. I know somebody that will borrow to lend. What? Because for you to know that I don't have this amount, I am ruining my street cred. Oh, yes. Anyway, Saint. Okay, come on.
I was just going to say what he was talking about saving. And I feel like you are not being fair to young people when, like, the next answer we give to them is like they should cut their coat according to their size. Like, there's no coat to cut.
The fabric is not
like
there.
There's literally no coat to cut. Like, are you not seeing what's happening? Like, we have people who are 60 years begging for like their pensions. Do you see what's happening in this country? And I think the fundamental issue is that if you are living in Ghana and you do everything right, the system will fuck you up. And that's the reality we have to know. Like, people approach investments like it's supposed to make them rich. It's a gamble. Hey, cha-cha. Yeah, that's what it is. And that's what we have to tell people, right? That as much as you are doing the right thing, you can be fucked up for no fault of yours, right? And let's stop preaching this, cut your coat according to your size, save for a rainy day, all of that. It's too unrealistic. And let's be fair to the young people. Then they tire out.
Come on, you know
then the stress.
Come on, wait. The most interesting thing about this submission is that you have removed yourself from the. You're young. Come on.
I'm in my 30s now, so.
So what? I don't appreciate that.
Well, I understand, but I think I'm talking from a point where like I have young people that work under me and I
younger.
Okay.
Don't say young.
And I see, like, I literally see what they go through and like they are also battling other things, because for us millennials, I think that we have like a compliment of like living in real life and living in social life.
And for them, we know what it was like before the
social life, right? Yeah. And they don't have the reality of real life. Okay, so their viewpoint is like, it's extremely very different.
You know, as sad as it is. I just want to know, like, Gen Z, did you guys play Police and Thief? Do you know what it is? Do you know Police and Thief? You are not Gen Z, please. Okay, no, is that? Oh, sorry. No. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Who is Gen Z here? You are Gen Z. Did you play Police and Thief? You didn't play. You did. Do you know her? Wait, do you know this game? No, not that one. Call. No, who is there? I am a color. What color? Color, red. Did you play? All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I was going to say? I find it very... I feel like this... Like, you know how the measure of your success in this country is you have built a house, you have bought a car. There are parts of the world where you are born, you rent, and you die. And nobody's going to say, Wambobra. Yeah. And I just... It's so interesting. It's like every single one... Do you know every single one of us here is expected to build a house and have a car? You know what I mean? Where is the land? Where is the land? And so I just find it funny. Like, you know, sometimes I'm just like, no, I'm just like, you know, if more people just accept the fact that they're just not going to have a house, then they will be fine. Because let's be real. Don't you all know, like, older people who live in somebody's house or they live with somebody, they didn't build their own houses? Yeah, people might think that they are, you know, whatever, but those people, they are living. Can you imagine? You are staying with your brother's family. You are like 52. At this point, the family has already understood that you are wayward. Yes, you are wayward. You are living in there. All you have to do is that maybe once in a while, you buy some groceries and bring to the house. Sunday, you and your brother will sit down and drink beer. The wife will cook. Like, you guys have a fine, you know, I'm not talking about the problematic one. Like, if you know adults like that, it's fine to also aspire to that. It's fine to aspire to that. I'm just saying, like, you know, the idea that everybody, and you have to redefine success for yourself. I mean, that's how I see it to the guy. Everybody's like, oh, you know, I'm going to make a million and I'm going to go. Sometimes in your lifetime, what you'll be making is 100,000 CDs. You know, you're not going to be making a dollar amount. And you need to start being okay with that and reimagine life for yourself with what is possible. And let's be very honest. Look, the greener pastures people, they talk to us. It may be green, but you have to stand outside and hold the hose. You have to stand outside and hold the hose. All of them are doing, I want to come back. It's just that they can't find a job to pay them what they're earning. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, I'll take one more submission to this and then we can go to the next question. Oh, yes.
So I want to propose an idea to our dear friend.
Okay.
He mentioned a tithe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going there.
I forgot about that.
I'm going there.
Yes.
I want to propose to him, how about maybe not giving 10% of your inadequate salary to an institution that is not taxed? Like, how about that? Just as an experiment, maybe for 3 months, just like, don't do it. And then see how it changes your life. Maybe try that.
So you know, the thing about like faith-based things is that he also probably believes that it is... Hey, wow. I'm telling you for something. I had a serious battle with true and true. My God. It was deadly in my mouth. It is through the tithe that he believes that maybe he will be, you know what I mean? And so now it's like, he's probably looking at other things that he can cut, but not the tithe. And I see where you're coming from. Unkwa, sorry.
No.
But that's why I'm saying that as in Zilio Kwa events, you find different perspectives. Unkwa, sorry, waha. Unkwa, sorry, musumu waha. And it's fine. Anywhere. You know what's the next lesson? Well, you have a rebuttal.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, if you're serving or if you believe in a higher power and not given 700 cities is what's going to deter him from making your life better, I mean, maybe it's time to reevaluate. But that's just me.
You know what? Okay, okay. Let's take Raymond's rebuttal. Let me tell you something. You know what's very... I get really stirred up when somebody's making some check. I see people doing like this. Because that's how I know I'm living my Wendy Williams show fantasy. You know when the cameraman pans to the audience and you see that somebody's like, what the f-? You know? I like it. If people were all agreeing, then it would not be nice. Yes.
Okay, so I think to rebuttal to what he said, This is 10%, okay?
Right? So, right? Right?
This is 10%.
Wait, hold on. You know, give them a moment. Give them a moment. Are you good? Okay. Yes, to rebuttal.
This is...
Okay, guys, let me tell you something. Yes, it's a joke, but you see, it's a joke, but like the longer you laugh, then it will become something else. So let's move on. Okay, Raymond, yeah.
Okay, so to rebut to what he said.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
I think
giving
away 10% of your income to anything should not be what will make you financially secure.
Yeah.
Because you have 90% to still work with. So the fact is that you are financially irresponsible in general.
Or not paid well enough.
Saving that 10% is not going to change your life. You have 90% to work with and it's still not enough for you. I don't think sacrificing that one thing is going to make a significant change in his life. He needs to make better financial decisions across the board. I don't think it's because of that 10% that...
But you know... Yes.
You cannot save yourself away from bad circumstances. And Accra is a bad circumstance.
Oh my God.
That's it. So I think if you look at the statistics, the majority of people earn under 5K and like 36% of Ghanaians don't have savings. He's not alone. 7,000 cedis is barely any money if you live in the middle of Accra. He could be paying rent 2,000 cedis a month. And if he's lucky, he's paying on a monthly basis.
Because we know.
Yes, because maybe he works in airports and he lives in Hacho. He has to take an Uber because Trotro means he has to leave home at 4 a.m. And Uber means he has to leave at 7:30. That's a concession you have to make. That shouldn't make your life difficult. The real conversation is, what is happening in Accra that is making 7,000 cedis not sufficient for a young man and his family? You know? He's not at fault. He's doing his best. I sympathize with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he needs to cut out the tides and any of these things and not support his family. I think maybe he might have to realistically cut out some things, which is not fair. He's young, clearly, and he should be able to live a full life.
I just think he needs a social climb.
Yes! They call it networking. That's like 2 meals a week that you don't have to pay
for. Dear, do you know that there are some rich people, every time they want to meet you, they want you to go and have lunch. Like, you eat at least one day, you cater for your lunch. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, look, Accra reminds me of Orange is the New Black. You know how you watch that series and you can never predict what is going to set Uzo Aduba off? You can tell her she's pretty and she will... Yeah. Like, you... So that's what it reminds me of. But, you know, another thing is that when you, like, you move from one income bracket to another, your taste changes. You are cutting your hair somewhere that they charge you 20 Ghana cedis. Now, because you want to snap where you cut your hair, you are going to the 50 Ghana cedis place, the 100 Ghana cedis place. Because the truth is that the 20 Ghana cedis, if you snap it...
Why are you snapping your
hair? Hey, you don't know. People are committed. Hey, you know me, my thing is that if I'm doing it, what would the Baba be thinking?
Right?
Hey. Like every time I see those pictures, I look at the barber's face. Like, anyway, by the way, so I was out last night for my birthday. I haven't been out in years, y'all. There were times when we used to start going outside from Wednesday to Sunday. These days, it's from Monday to Sunday. That's wild. But yesterday I was outside. And I ended up on the beach at 5:45. I caught the sunrise. And I said, ah. Wow. Yeah. I squeezed myself into the smallest shirt I could find. Because I found my waist and I said, everybody will too. but yeah, it was a time. I feel like... socialization in Accra's nightlife has changed, man. Back then when we used to go out, you could easily talk to anybody. That's how I met Six, who was on Off the Top. Yes, this girl was going around telling her people her name is Six. And I said, excuse me, what kind of name is Six? He said, oh yeah, my name is Amancia. So yeah, I go by Six. I said, oh, who is this? Today, clicks, no? You know the funny thing? I be seeing people like with their friends. They go like, they don't take their drink. I'm like, what the hell? So no, yesterday I was like, wow. I don't remember Accra being like this, but luckily I was with friends, so I didn't feel like, you know, who's me upstage, Jimmy? And that's the thing. And look, when I go out, I wear running shoes. I'm sorry. I have seen, oh, it's not like I went around. I have seen way too many people get offended or angry in the club because somebody stepped on their shoes. Bitch, why the fuck would you wear something so expensive, something new, something white? Look, people will step on you in the club. Come on. If people don't step on you in the club, then the club is dead. And oh no, I'm sure Ria can even tell. Like we've been out at nightclubs and people are pulling guns. Oh yes, because somebody stepped on their shoe. Me pee shoe. I don't know. You can step on it all you want. You can pour a drink on it, and it's usually black. Yes, Charlie. But I think I will try and be outside consistently for a bit and see. I just want to see what is given, maybe to change. We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Fika Tea House, we use fresh ingredients from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties, just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Fika Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite maps, ride-sharing, or menu-finder delivery app, and enter Fika Tea House, F-I-K-A, Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Fika Tea House. We Stay Real. All right, let's do this next one. What is the time?
8:49.
Okay, so I have a question about jealousy. Oh my God. I am jealous of my best friend. And it's not even malicious, but it's affecting the way I feel about her. Let me paint a picture. She has really chill parents who allow her to do what she wants. Maya literally chose my career. My friend has a fatter ass than me. And every time we go out, listen to this, y'all. And every time we go out, I have to stand by while some nigga talks to her. See? I know. I mean, that's a good question, Ria. How are you presenting yourself? Because, you know, let me tell you something about Tyler. Tyler doesn't have a big... her ass is not big. But I don't know how they style that girl. I don't know how she stands. It's always giving bootylicious. So, girl, what are you wearing? She also recently got a job working at a company we both applied to. Like, I love her a lot, girl. But these feelings have been coming up lately. And it's heavy for me. I usually have to drink when we hang out so I can just vibe, but when I'm sober and she complains about something, I just want to tell her to fuck off. So basically, our friendship is being held together by gin and tonic. is this normal? Yeah. What do I do? We've been friends since primary school, and I'm 25. You know, I feel like until we stop demonizing certain emotions that are very natural, people will never have conversations about it so that they can understand it better. Because, you know, we're made to think that if you are your friends are jealous of you, it's a bad thing. God, I want you to be jealous. I mean, I don't want you to be jealous, but it's a compliment. I have something you want. I'm doing something right. And, you know, I think what it is like there's jealousy and there's envy. Look, be honest. I remember when I was in class 5. There was this girl, every vacation, she would go to America. And then when she comes, she makes a big show of the fact that she has returned. I was like, girl, please. She will come with candy. And then she will walk to every table. And if she's not talking to you, she will skip you dramatically. You know, her pencils had, you know that era that the eraser you put at the back of your pencil, it can be like an animal's head. You got a pink pig, a green frog. She always had all of these, like, you know, nice stationery. And I was jealous. I said, oh my God, I wish that was me. You know what I mean? But not like I hated her or anything, you know. We even ended up going to the same high school and became friends. I feel like I've narrowed it down. Oh, you know her. But yeah, I feel like, Charlie, but it's crazy though. It's like, now you actually have to drink so you can stand your friend. I think you need to free yourself. And I think that's the thing. I remember I was in a conversation with a group of people about like a friendship rift. And there was an older man, right? And he said, you know, the truth of the matter is that you need to understand that not all friendships last forever. Some people hold on to things like, oh, I've known her since we were 5. I've known her. Look, you can know people for 20 years. And when it's time to go, it's time to go. Because if you hold on to certain friendships, baby... The thing that you're talking about, money, you know that people have friends that like all they do is just ask them for money, and you and that person go way back in a certain way that you can't say no, so you always just give, you always, because you know that like it's not them. You understand what I mean? But at the end of the day, somebody too must be your guy. Look, I have a certain friend. Me, I always tell him that, hey, you are my rich friend. Because a lot of people see me like I'm their rich friend, which is honestly very interesting. I remember the first time somebody asked me for 10K. I said, hey. I said, what have I done? Yes! I think low-key is the reason why I don't post so much on Instagram anymore. I'm like, why would you think that I have... 10K, much less to give you and still be okay. Like, anyway, I feel like I haven't given you guys a chance to respond to this jealousy friend thing. So what do we have to say? Someone say something as I text my friend that I will be like a bit late. No, it's a birthday dinner.
So,
you know?
Okay.
Certain people, they give gifts like that. Let me take you to dinner. Let me take you to lunch. Yeah.
So Murphy. On that matter, I kind of have a problem with like friendships in like country, personally. We are not open to each other to that level where we can tell our friends, say, oh, Charlie, this be what I go through. I think telling a friend like I'm jealous of you isn't a bad thing, because basically I can even open up and tell you the source of what is making me look nice and stuff like that. So it's basically being open with your friends and letting them know like what's up. That's my submission.
You know, there are certain people that won't believe you.
Then that person's not your friend.
Oh, but I mean, look, let's not place under the assumption that all friendships are pure. And that's okay.
And that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Now, that's what I was saying. I've known her since class 5. Yeah. Who else? Sally, you know you are in front of my camera.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, this is Sally. Sally's on the team. Sally, you're Pedro. I'm Pedro. What about me, Dre? I want to know. No, honestly. What about me? My glasses. Ah, wait. Terminator, sir. I mean, I was trying to go for Alte. You know the funny thing? In 2016, 2017, 2015, you would not catch me in nothing baggy. Hey, skinny jeans, my shape, yeah, shash. When did me shout out my skinny jeans? Look, now when I wear something that's like sticking to me, I'm irritated. Like skinny jeans in 2025, I can't do it. Hey, you ready? Anyway, are we done? Nobody has anything to say about the jealousy?
Okay, I think you're right. We demonize a lot of emotions and it makes it hard for people to have conversations. This sounds like envy and I don't think it's a problem. If something good is happening and you wish it will happen to you, it's a valid emotion. But her not being able to tell her friend, that will build resentment. And eventually the friendship will scatter, which again, I think some friendships should die. That's perfectly fine. But she needs to be able to tell her friend if she wants this friendship to continue, right? Unless she just doesn't want it to continue, then. But otherwise, please, I'm jealous of Rihanna. It's not like, I can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. It's not happening to you. You can't force it.
You know,
it's she's actually been able to break it down. I don't think so. I think she's broken it down.
Because you can't tell me that you're jealous of your friend and you can only stand them when you're drunk.
Can you imagine?
That's witchcraft. That's not cute friendship envy. Because I should be able to compartmentalize in a friendship. If my friend is achieving something that I wish for myself, I can say, oh, I wish that was me. But it sounded like in the general friendship, I can't stand this person unless I'm intoxicated. Yes. That's not jealousy. That's,
you know, that tells that's witchcraft. Sign for me was when she said sometimes she wants to tell her fuck off.
Yeah.
If I feel that way about you,
we shouldn't be friends.
No, I don't think perfect. Easy. Okay.
I think.
Yes. You know, quiet as kept. It's really about the men. That's what I think. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, I think that we should cut her some slack because the fact that she sat down to even write this letter and wants to seek advice, it's that she even cares about the relationship enough to want help.
Let me tell you something. If you have friends that you cannot talk to about how maybe what they have done or didn't do has affected you, if you can't talk about those things, then you need to understand that is not a friend. That is an acquaintance, someone you know.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Okay, come back in.
Yeah, so I was saying that, so I see that she is concerned. But now the issue with telling her friend, I am thinking about whether, like, it depends on how her friend is going to take it. I don't see how the outcome would look like. Like,
it's the delivery.
What will they do?
It's the delivery.
What does she want to hear from her friend?
Ah, Sally.
Okay, I'm jealous of you.
Okay, do you know what? Let's... Wait, hold on. I want who is willing to be the girl and I'll be the friend. Because I believe in approach. Okay. Alright, so let's start. Okay. Hey Sally, what are you doing?
I'm listening to Joseph.
Oh well, can you give me like 10 minutes of your time? I wanted to talk to you about something.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, Sally, you know yesterday when we went to Bloom Bar? Oh, blessed memory.
We went to Bloom Bar. So you can use Aria.
Oh, we were at Aria. And like, you know, when we entered, it's like, I felt like for the first like 15 minutes, you just kept talking to boys and I was like standing alone. I felt some way. You don't know anything to say. Like, I felt like you left me alone, B. Like, you know.
Uh-huh, so this thing is too, so I can be mature about it and tell you,
no,
oh, I'm
play,
sorry.
Play, girl, play along. So what? How? No, how would you respond to this?
I want to respond to it. Well,
how would you respond?
I want you to say something quite insensitive. It's not my fault that the boys are talking to me.
That's what you say.
That's what I want to say.
Say it. Okay, you have said it. Let me respond.
But then you see, this is a friendship, so I have to be sensitive to how the person is feeling.
So what would you say?
Oh, I'm sorry I left you to speak to people, but next time I'll make sure that I don't do that. Yes, I'll try to be sensitive because that's the whole point of being a friendship.
I want someone else to play that girl. Who else wants to play that girl? No, I just want a real scenario to see how the conversation can go. Yes.
Me, I'm extremely misunderstanding, so I will not give you the best response.
No, but I it's a stage. I'm not gonna start by saying I've been feeling jealous of you. No. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying about the delivery. Sometimes you have to manage it. Do you get it? So for example, there are different things that are making you feel that way. Kill the fires one by one.
Exactly.
Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Your friend needs to ask you questions.
And at some point, there will be a point where some of the fires won't go down. And you have to make a decision. That if she has, their friend has made the effort to fix one or two, the ones that it's not in their power to fix, you have to deal with it. If you still can't deal with it, girl, leave that girl alone because you're a demon in her life. That's how I see it. Honestly, if your friend tells you that when you go out, boys talk to you and leave me, and you truly believe that there's nothing you can do about it, you're like, girl,
I gotta go.
I'll be telling you, so when they're talking, insert yourself in the conversation. It's okay. You know? So, no. Okay, yeah.
The reason I think in this scenario the friendship is condemned is because what can she ask of her friend to reduce her shine, to not have a good job, to not have a fat ass? That's not an ass.
I know, right?
That's realistic, right? And so in this scenario, I think, because that's the problem, is that she wants her friend's entire life almost, right? Yeah. And it's not the friend's fault that she has this life. But I agree with you in that it's no longer serving her, unfortunately. She has to find people with smaller bums.
Yeah.
That's
just... I know. You know, I heard this theory that some people intentionally surround themselves with ugly friends. So that when they go out, they are the leader.
About what Wendy said. Okay.
You have the mic?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, sure.
I disagree with her because it's one thing to feel that emotion, and it's a completely different thing to like sabotage it. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like to make it look like to try and let her to ruin her job, among several other things. It's just a completely different thing to sabotage what your friend has. As compared to just feeling the emotion, which she's not doing.
Yeah, so I also think that leaving the friendship because she's jealous is also not the right way to go, because then it means that every relationship that you get in and then you have some sort of jealousy, you are going to ex. So I think that it starts with her. I think that it starts with her. Like, she has to accept herself and her strengths and what is what. Maybe therapy would help her, but it starts with her, her healing, so that she doesn't have any resentment towards anyone.
Sorry.
Let's
move. The
moment you have to be drunk before you can accommodate your friend. No, do it. Do an introspection and realize that you do not need this friendship anymore. It's done. Because for my friends who are doing way better than I am, I don't need to drink before I can have a conversation with them. But if you have reached the point where you need to drink, get drunk before you can talk to your friend, or if you are sober, you want to tell them to fuck off when they are just telling you about their day and what's happening in their life, then I'm sorry, end the friendship. Because it will get to a stage where One day you would mess up so bad while you are intoxicated and you can't take whatever it is you said or did back. And it is going to happen. Which one?
Like keeping the friendship?
No, ending the friendship is good for both of them. I'm sorry. It's not her friend's fault that she's feeling that way, right? But ending it will be good for her.
You know what it is?
Good for her and her mental health. I'm sorry.
You know what it is? There's two schools of thoughts. Those that want it to end and those that believe that it can be fixed. There are certain people that believe that you can always try and fix things. And there are certain people that don't want to do the labor. So I think that is what the issue is. He doesn't want to do the labor of going through all of that. You know what I mean? I mean, look, depending on what you have seen in life, what you've been through, sometimes come to me healed. Like, I don't want to. No, it's true. You know, you yourself, sometimes the shaking that I've seen, like, I don't want to. If some people are a lot and it really depends on when you meet them, where you are in life. There are certain like places you can be in life where you can deal with a friend that's a lot. If you have your own place, you have the money to say, oh, come over, let's buy food and order it in and pay for delivery and let me just listen to you talk. If you are in a certain phase in life, a lot of people will work for you. So look, maybe here and now, where you are like struggling, it's not good for you. Because maybe in 5 years, if you get your money up and buy a BBL, you won't mind going out with a girl. Because wutsu niye mi diye niye. And then more kwa kwa your bed. Like, who gets the most? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. So understand, maybe at this phase, it's not working. And then let it motivate you. Yes. This is a BBL. Yeah. Are there any more opinions? I'm not going to read the last question. We're just going to do a slow descent. Cause here pong. I see. Oh, look. Here pong. Anyway, you know, we decided to do the show because, you know, Bloomba left. We no longer had a venue. Jameson also left Ghana. We no longer had a sponsor. So we are downsizing. We got to downsize. But I think this is like really cool. So you don't need to do the whole, you know what I mean? And we're hoping to do it more often. And I like that. Like, people are not busy recording and things. Everybody was like in the conversation. It's fun. And maybe if you come again, feel more free to speak. The thing is that, oh my God, human beings, we are always so concerned about what people think about us. But you know the funny thing? People really don't be thinking about you like that. Like when I think about my 24 hours and how many times I've sat down and thought about somebody. Because like it's like a budget in my head. It's like this thing that I'm doing right now, how will it affect my internet bundle 2 weeks from now? Like, you know what I mean? You're going through different things. So if you can think about the fact that you sit down and mope around your circumstances, why do you think that somebody is like devoting 24 hours to think about you? Like, you know what I mean? The craziest thing, or not crazy, the easiest thing, whenever I go out and I see people taking pictures of, like, they'll be like, oh, someone should take a picture of them. Do you notice that when they see that you're looking at them, there is this change in their confidence, because they feel like, it's John B. So like, you know, and then they are like quickly doing, oh, let me see. So that you walk away, then they'll do it without you being there. Have you noticed that thing? Mm-hmm. I find it so interesting in Ghana. Like, take your picture. Take your picture. You know, these same people that you are worrying about, when they go to France, they go and stand in front of the Eiffel Tower and take pictures. They put in France, somebody did a video and said the place is dirty. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you know how when you are driving past the Independence Square, you see all of these tourists taking pictures, you're like, hey, you know, which way? Because you don't value it. Yes. Take your picture. Why? Hey, I don't know. If we stop socializing children to be timid and all of that, I feel like we'd see a lot of change, because the timidity is even the reason why the relationship field is like the way it is. Did you know that there are some women that have been socialized to believe that they are not supposed to tell a man that they like him. So if you don't move to them, they like you, but there'll be nary a sign. Oh yes. They really believe that. Hey, men are catch up. Hey, yes. And you'll be sitting here saying, oh, they are not enough. I cry is small. The people that are there, this is how they are thinking. And then there's also that funny look. Some men believe that the kind of like sex you have with your side chick should be different from the sex that you have with the person that you're married to, because one involves a certain level of disrespect. So it's like you don't want to. Hey, why? Anyway, you know what? Even before I delve into this, I would just understand, because I have come to realize that people are marrying for different things. Yeah, people marry because they want you to mother their child. Yep. That's the period. People are marrying because Omo Papa say, if you don't marry, I won't give you the house. Yes. And the bad thing is that they're not telling the women. I think that if you tell a woman that, look, shorty, you see my father's money? He said that if I marry, he will give it to us. He will give it to me, but it can be us.
What if the shorty kills you?
That went dark very fast. But I just want to say that, like, I don't want to say that to that. I want to say, no risk, no reward. Yes. Look, I just feel like, I don't know. We always think people are going to act a certain way. Stop thinking for people. See, it will shock you. Somebody said, why are you looking for a cry? It's a business district. Why are you looking for love in a cry? It's a business district. Yes. Look, you approach Obi, a dream or Pesika cry the year, baby. And then you come and present her with the comfort of marrying to a rich family. Oh, Befa, you never know. And look, and it's funny, people say, oh, people in Accra, married people, you boys say married people are cheating, and you think you have discovered something. Who told you that they don't know what they are doing? Who told you that their spouses are not aware? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think we need to open up our minds to the fact that doings are happening. Big doings are happening in this Accra. Like, don't see something and take it on that 10 years ago idea that has been sold to you. But yeah, you know, that thing, like, why is it such? Anyway, marriage is different. But yeah, so that's why we did it. And I hope you enjoyed it. You know, maybe by the next one, there'll be a bit more like production, like some music. How you feeling? Shout it out. Oh, the Wendy Watchers, where are you? Yes. How you doing? Yeah, anyway, guys, thanks for coming. All too soon, we've come to the end of this very first edition. Feel free to rate us. Like I always say, if you have bad comments and whatever, keep it. Yeah, just keep it. You know the thing about social media too, Twitter. You know, sometimes people will be like critiquing somebody's song, music video and things, you know? And the first thing I do is to always go to the profile. Look, the picture might influence it, but it's not even about the picture for me. It's the bio. And I need to see at least 5 original tweets. Like, if you're just retweeting on there, I don't respect your opinion. I feel like you don't have an original thought. You just retweet. And so, Black Sharif did not put any Ghanaians on his album. Da 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 da. And you go and open the Twitter. Something about Bitcoin. Like, what are we doing? And there's a lot of people without taste, loud and wrong, about creative projects. I don't know. Like, people will be coming and the album is bad. This is, I'm like, hey, really? I want to see how you combine your outfits today. Yeah. Some of you, you don't have taste, but you want to comment on somebody's creative arts. Me and my friends, I told them, oh, you know, I do this thing. Hey, me too, I didn't know. I do this thing. Wendy knows. I do this thing every 31st December. I send all the people that I consider my really good friends, I send them voice notes. And in the voice notes, I give a review of the year. The things that you did, I felt like you can do better. The places where I felt like I could have done better. And then we come to a middle ground. And I wish you, and every year I have a theme. Now I'm called ICGC first. And I'll be like, this year, this is what I see for everybody. What was this year's thing, Wendy? I have to check in. I forgot. And you see, the truth about this is that
you dragged me less this year.
Oh yes. By this submission, there's a lot of people that are probably gonna tell me like, oh wow.
I know someone.
Surprise, surprise, y'all. Some years some people come off of the list, and some years some people come on. It's fine. But you know, I remember when I was young, I used to watch the Oprah show. And you know, Oprah used to have this special party that she does, and everybody wanted to go to the Oprah Winfrey party. It's like Beyonce and Jay-Z's gold party. Like, if you get invited, you know what I mean? Intermediate TV, I say, I wanted to start something, you know. I say, exclusive, baby, you know. And we'll be like, oh my god, how do I get one of Juice's voice notes? And it's not like out there. It's not out there. It's just among my friends. Because I feel 31st night and 1st January messages are so fucking generic. I can tell when somebody has sent me a copy and paste, what's it called? I mean, come on. And so I just thought about it. I was like, okay. It just started one random 31st night. I was like, let me just send voice notes. And I did. And the response to it was so good. I was like, oh, I have to keep this going. So here we are. I don't even remember why I was telling this story about the what's it called? Yeah, I was saying no. With my friends, I feel like we tell it as it is. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you're a celebrity. Then I'm saying, please. Me, I'm not a celebrity. If anything, my friends let me know very quickly. I'm not. So I don't like approach life from that level, you know. I'll tell you why I even stopped doing my TikToks. I was standing by the road sometime. And the church passed. And somebody shouted, teacher, peace. I said, oh my God. The brand. The brand is a stick. I said, oh no. But you know, it's really crazy. There are some people that know me only from TikTok. They don't know the podcast. They don't know anything. And that is all they know. It's wild to me. I mean, like, something I did for like 8 months. I have stuff that I've done for years. And you don't know about that? Teacher, please. That's crazy, man. But yeah, thanks for coming. At this point, I cannot avoid these text messages, so I have to take leave of you. Thank you for coming. I want to give a shout out to Kwame Asante Ofori, my co-creator and producer. Right? Yeah. Met on BBM 2014. I just want to say, look, it's really because of Kwame that this show, I feel like it really, because he's very serious, like, production notes. Sometimes I'm just like, just give me the mic, you know, like, look, I didn't prepare. Today I was coming with my friend in the car, and he was like, so, like, how do you prepare for this show? I said, well, it wasn't there to prepare. I'm going to talk to people and tell you things that I feel and think. But Kwame wants production notes. He wants topics. Put it down. Like, we always have production meetings. I'm just like, and you can't skip any segment, so you have to go through everything. But anyway, shout out to you. Look, I want to retire this thing at 10. You know, we're at 8. We're at 10 if we stop. Will you go? No, I mean, I said when the podcast is 10 years and we stop, will you go be upset?
Of course.
Really?
Oh, no.
Let me tell you why that might happen. So I was on a call with Cyril recently, and we're talking about some video that we are trying to do. And he said, oh, he thinks so-and-so should like come on as well and kind of like co-host with me. And oh, no, it's not about that. And I was like, okay, I'm listening. You know, to give it like a younger voice. I said, oh my God. What in the substance is going on here? I said, never in my life did I think I would be the old voice. I said, well, I have the POV of the young person.
It said it's giving her runs by
and girl. And so sometimes I'm just like, should I wrap it up? But anyway, I don't know. We'll see. We'll ride it till the wheels fall off. Yeah. But thank you guys. Thank you guys for coming. And we really appreciate you. I will like give you guys like 2 minutes to like say hi and things. I want to like, you know, if you had come early, would have spoken, you know, but now I have to dash. So yeah.